Courtney for setting this up. And I think this is a great idea for those of us who are in this place management profession to be able to exchange ideas with each other, because none of us have ever been through this. I mean, let's face facts. No one has. So we are charting in uncharted water, territory, waters, whatever phrase you want to use. We've never been through this before. So we need to be there to exchange ideas. That's what Downtown New Jersey is for, and to be there to support each other, because this is going to be rough over the next, who knows how long. We don't know for sure, but it's going to be a very, very rough time for all of us. So I really want to thank Courtney again for setting this up, and for all of you for being on the line here, and thank Zoom, wherever they are in the cloud, for allowing us to do this. And that's really all I wanted to say.
This is Karen. Could I ask a question? If we could, I'm familiar with the organization, obviously, but it would be beneficial for me to know, like, you know, who's on the phone, and, you know, just give a little background of you know, what the organization does and how they interact with the state, cities, etc.
That's a great idea, Karen. And I'll kind of pick people, and I'll do it in the order that they appear on my thing, just so that everybody's not talking over each other. And I'll just kick off. Downtown New Jersey is a nonprofit education and advocacy organization statewide. Our members, and we're membership based. That's what membership dues basically pay me to organize things like this and do policy watches and go down to Trenton, et cetera. Yearly we do a conference, we do quarterly in-person roundtables, used to be, about different hot topics. Basically we facilitate exchanges amongst, people involved with downtown revitalization. Most of our members are BIDs, downtown managers, or public officials with downtowns that maybe don't have a BID, but they still have a downtown. But we also have lawyers, design professionals, developers, et cetera. Anyone who wants to see downtown revitalization can be involved and are members. So that's basically what we do. And I'm Courtney Mercer. I'm actually a planner by training, and I have my own consulting firm, but I also do this as a side gig, executive director of Downtown New Jersey. So I'm going to bump it. And again, I'm just going in the order of my own screens. Ryan, why don't you introduce yourself?
Morning, everybody. I'm Ryan Gleason. I'm the executive director of Downtown Denville, which is in Morris County. I've been there about 3 years. Previously, I was the government affairs director at the Staten Island Chamber of Commerce. And just happy to be here, exchange ideas. And thanks to Downtown New Jersey for putting it together.
You're welcome. I've got next to my screens, Richard. You unmute yourself. Nope, you're still muted, Richard. Hold on, I think I can unmute you. There you go.
Am I
on? Okay. There you go.
Yeah, so good morning, all. Richard Cohan, I want to thank Courtney for hosting this. I have my own firm. I do retail attraction and retail retention. My clients are the 34th Street Partnership in New York City. Okay, I've been with them for over a decade. I have a client in the high desert in Southern California, in Hesperia. And I have a client in Lake Charles, Louisiana, home of the drive-through daiquiri bar that I think all of us could use this morning. The drive-through daiquiri bar. And I have some papers out now with a city in New Jersey. So I am looking, obviously, to start doing this work in New Jersey. And just all I will tell all of you about my firm is so many folks in what I do, they kind of focus on metrics. Metrics are really, really important. I focus on people. And I think in times like this, certainly these last few days, the friendships that you have with people. I know people love the word relationships, but I prefer the word friendships. And boy, oh boy, in what we're going through right now, as Bob said, we're in uncharted waters. You need friendships.
You're on mute, Courtney.
It's telling me I'm muted, so you can't hear me. There you go. It actually pops up a screen and says, you're muted. I've got Bob next.
Sure. Thank you, Courtney. So as Courtney said, I am the new, as of January, president of Downtown New Jersey, but a longtime board member. And I am starting in a week. I am not yet officially on board, but I will be starting my new position in a week as the executive director of the Downtown Westfield Corporation in Westfield, New Jersey. And I also serve on the Board of Trustees, the governing body for my hometown of South Orange.
Thank you, Bob. Vanessa, I've got you next.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. Hello, Karen. Thanks for asking everyone to introduce themselves. Vanessa Quijano, I am, as of January, the treasurer of Downtown New Jersey on our board. But I am also, my capacity as senior vice president of business development at Invest Newark, where I actually started there just on February 10th. Prior to that, I've been on the board with Downtown New Jersey as the director of small business development for Jersey City Economic Development. So I'm glad to see Karen's on here as part of one of our Newark bid SIDS, and glad to see people's faces, I have to say. So this is probably one of the first meetings where I'm seeing people's faces versus just voices. So good to see everyone here, and thank you, Courtney, for pulling this together. Also for getting the Policy Watch on our website. I have been active in Newark, speaking with United Way, speaking with the mayor's office, obviously the Invest Newark. We are developing a grant for small businesses. So as soon as that is available and the details are available, we will share that. Again, that's for Newark-based small businesses.
And thanks, Vanessa, for inviting us.
Of course, Chris is also on our board. I don't know if Chris Bernardo is on the line, but Chris is also on the board of Downtown New Jersey, effective this year.
Great, thank you, Vanessa. Julie, I got you in row next.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Doran. I'm the executive director of the South Orange Village Center Alliance. I've been in downtown management for about 12 years now. So I'm really glad to be talking to all of you this morning.
Orlando, you're next.
Hello, everyone. Orlando Cruz, Executive Director of the Downtown Patterson Special Improvement District here in Passaic County. Thank you for, having this platform where we can all, kind of discuss what's going on in our individual downtowns and in our individual cities and towns. Looking forward to hearing everyone's different experiences. We are one of the few cities that are actually mayor under executive order, mandatory shutdown of all non-essential businesses, a little stricter than what the governor put down. So yeah, I'm just interested to have this conversation and see what everyone's experiencing.
Thank you, Orlando. Karen, you're next.
Oh, here. Hello, can anybody hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so.
Oh, wait. Hold on, you're on mute, Karen.
Okay.
There we go. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I got a call. All right, so I'm Karen Brown Stovell. I'm the executive director of Forward Ever Sustainable Business Alliance in Newark, New Jersey, and we run the Shop Newark program. We're a local first org focused on advocacy and raising the visibility and sustainability of small local businesses in Newark, New Jersey.
Great, thank you. Jim, I've got you next.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Jim Rutella. We have a consulting firm, Rutella Associates. We do downtown work in South Jersey, Atlantic City, Ventnor, Pleasantville, Cape May City, and a few other towns. And happy to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Fatima, and you are muted. I'm going to unmute you. There you go, Fatima. You there? All right. Fatima, I think, is Union off the top of my head. Looks like she's not there or it's not working or something. Gary, I'm going to unmute you. Gary? Gary? Nope. All right. I'm going to put him back on mute. I'm not sure off the top of my head where Gary's from. I can tell you in a minute. I got a 908370. I don't know who that is.
That's Liz Jeffrey.
Hi, Liz.
Hi. Sorry, I'm not in my person. I'm just on my phone. So I'm the economic development director in Fanwood. And they don't have a CID or a business association. So as part of my role there, which is, you know, sort of macroeconomic development and, you know, redevelopment planning, I do small business liaison work there. And I also am working in Westfield now. My personal company is a small municipal economic development advising company, which I do, you know, on my own as a consultant. So I'm working in Westfield, and I'm looking forward so much to working with Bob. And I also do this work in Fanwood, where we've been, you know, we pretty much do one-on-one outreach there because it's a small borough.
Thank you, Liz. Tom, are you connected to audio yet? Doesn't look like you might still working its way in. And Fatima or Gary, are you there? Nope. All right. So then that's where we're at. So who wants to jump off questions, concerns, etc.?
I know the governor, Courtney, announced, or at least Governor Cuomo did, that the restrictions are moving to barbershops, hairstylists, nail salons, similar personal service businesses. Is there any word of this just becoming a total shutdown statewide? And, you know, can we expect that all non-essential businesses essentially will be shut down in the coming days? You know, we're trying to promote the businesses that we can that are open for as long as we can, but we're kind of trying to prepare them for what's coming.
I unfortunately don't have that answer. Anyone else have any ideas, thoughts inside?
I know that Governor Murphy did the same thing with regard to salons and spas and other personal.
Any personal services,
Personal care services, exactly. So that is now, I believe, already in place, right, Liz? I think,
It was 8 p.m. Last night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it looks like 8
p.m. tomorrow, I think.
Yeah. I mean, from our perspective here, a couple of things have happened. So the governor, has put down something first for the bars and restaurants, and curbside pickup and takeout only. And then they have the curfew in place. And then yesterday was the beginning of the personal services that cannot maintain the 6-foot safety zone. So anything from tattoos to haircuts to any of those things are now going to be closed. And in some towns that have in Westfield and Cranford in particular, where they're sort of a destination town, they have put a restriction on non-essential services and foot traffic. It looks like, from what I'm hearing, that Patterson has done that. And it looks like the state of Pennsylvania has already come out and done a ban on anything that is not life essential. So if I had to glean where we're headed, given that we're closer to the epicenter of New York than Pennsylvania in some regards, I would say that's probably where we're headed as a personal opinion.
I was talking to Orlando before. My biggest concern is liquor stores. Are those essential?
You're not alone.
Not
alone. But I'll tell you what, I would like to say one thing. The thing that we've had the most trouble with in Fanwood, tiny little borough, is the childcare. The childcare was a gray area, and no one would answer the question of whether they should be staying open or not staying open. And we still don't have clear direction on, in some cases, they're saying stay open with these protocols because the first responders need you. On other cases, you know, they're closing because they have the distance problem and the overcapacity of 50, et cetera.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the beginning of when this went down, I know the mayor here in Patterson on Monday, as of 6 p.m., had ordered his own executive order that was a little stricter than what the governor had already implemented or was going to implement, because I think the governor came out with his a few hours after Patterson did. But, you know, as one of the, you know, second to New York City, Patterson is the most densely populated city in the country. So, you know, it was, like Bob mentioned before, uncharted waters, you know, drastic times call for drastic measures. And if anything we're doing seemed exaggerated, we're probably doing the right thing. But, you know, the issue that we have in pertaining to liquor stores is that they all dub as bars, and none of them, you know, close at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. They all stay open till 2-3 in the morning. Their liquor retail portion closes down, but then they're a bar and stay open. So that's what kind of prompted our drastic measure of shutting down liquor stores. But I think this is an ever-changing thing. You know, as we all know, you know, by the hour, by the minute, it's always changing, because we or the mayor here readjusted his executive order of non-essential businesses and kind of lifted, you know, some of those restrictions to at first deeming mechanics and tire shops as essential, because you still do have people that are on the road traveling to work or traveling to visit family. And if their car breaks down or if their tire blows out, they still need to have a place to go to and get that fixed. So, you know, these things are ever changing. But in my gut opinion, I do feel like we're probably heading into a mandatory shutdown. I've heard rumors on different platforms through people that work in the military, that have family in the military, that have informed family members that the state is just preparing. They're currently just awaiting for the military to actually be in place and ready to be deployed to then enforce a mandatory shutdown. But I guess it's just, it's a matter of time.
I've heard that too, Orlando, through a niece who has a close friend in the military. There are rumors about, you know, a two week quarantine for all citizens, all businesses closed.
Correct.
I don't know if it'll be that extreme. We'll see.
I heard it's nationwide, not just state of New Jersey, but
that would be nationwide.
Yeah, nationwide 2 week quarantine. I think you know, again, from what I've heard, they're just waiting for the military to be ready to be deployed, and according to rumors, they're just in the process of getting prepared.
Has anyone seen a list? Is there a list, a statewide list, of what is an essential business and what is not?
I have that list, and I can send it around. It was published by the state of Pennsylvania.
Would it be the same in New Jersey, though?
Well, it's a good start.
That's a question we had here. We have a retail store called Micro Center. If anybody's heard of it, it's, you know, similar to a Best Buy or whatnot. It's here in the city of Patterson, and that was one of the businesses that were closed and deemed non-essential. But my personal opinion, in the age of technology that we live in, I feel like a store like that is probably essential now in the 21st century, especially with so many individuals working from home and school kids being sent, you know, home till further notice on virtual learning. I think that an electronic store like that should be deemed essential. Again, that's just my opinion.
I just want to interject. I'm getting all kinds of messages here that Cuomo just issued a complete shutdown in New York State. And says essential businesses only, residents must remain indoors, taking the most drastic action we can take.
Yeah, I just got that message as well.
Yeah. So they've been pretty coordinated, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. So we'll see.
So what I'm doing, guys, just so you know, I'm taking some notes, and I think two of the questions, because I'm going to tweet at NJGov and the governor and ask, you know, can we have a list of what is essential? And two, give us a clear indication about childcare. Those are the two things I picked up so far. If there's more, let me know. But, and I'll send an email to our we have a board member who works for EDA. So although she's a little slow to respond, I don't know why.
I ask another question that seems to be coming up frequently.
Sure.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
So it seems to me that, I mean, we've put out, so most places, several places have, and, you know, obviously you've put out something terrific also. We have a business resources tab on our website. The mayor of Fanwood sent out a news blast to our businesses this morning, just providing them with the links to the federal and state and, you know, and the resources that are existing and also then contemplated. And, you know, we're keeping ourselves abreast of the policy watch. But one of the things that I've heard now is that one or two folks have called their lender or, you know, that, you know, are they, you know, are they relaxing things for when, you know, they've closed already, so the income is stopping. Many of them can't make the next payment. And it's kind of like some are hearing like, you know, we're not going to be taking actions immediately. We're giving people time. I mean, it seems like it's willy-nilly a little.
Is this for business loans and banks, mortgages and things like that?
Mortgage payments and banks. And then you wonder, like, if they're going to be giving some relief to the property owner, is that going to trickle down to the tenants as far as the retailers go? I mean, that just seems to be a foggy area for me right now, and people are asking that question a lot.
Me too. Yeah, same question.
I was went out yesterday for the first time in what felt like a year. I went out and I went down to my office, and we run the Shop North program. So we have 50 plus businesses that are part of our program. That give people a rebate for shopping locally. And I stopped into a couple of our participants, and one of them was like harried. They were, you know, running around trying to close, and this had to be maybe around 1 o'clock. And I said, why are you closing? They are they serve breakfast and lunch. And they said, and they're a half a block away from City Hall, North City Hall. And they were saying that a police officer had walked in and told them that they needed to shut down. And now, so of course I was running around and I was trying to figure out who to call. I made a phone call, found out, of course, based on the ordinance that our mayor passed, that they were not required to shut down until 8 p.m. So then I received a call this morning from them saying that they were told to stay shut down, but then they came, one of the ladies lives across the street from the place and said that all the other stores and community were indeed open, that were, you know, other food businesses, even McDonald's and Burger King, et cetera. So they were afraid to open because the police officer had come in and talked to them directly. And I said, you know, this is crazy. Like, you know, I don't want to advise them to do anything because they had a police officer come in. The other thing is that they were very concerned. They've only been open for like 2 or 3 months, and they're like most small businesses, they're trying to, you know, make their way and get more, and we've been promoting them like crazy, but they still want to make more money and have an increased visibility. They wanted to know, like, you know, what's going to happen in terms of, should he pay his mortgage or should he pay the rent on the store? Should he pay the rent on the store, or should he pay the employees that he's had, you know, that have been coming in, the few employees? And so these are the, and I of course did not feel comfortable advising him to do anything. Like what I did say to him was that if it ever got down to a choice, I know I would pay my health insurance before I paid my mortgage, because I have to have health insurance and I know that they can't foreclose on me in a month or two, right? But I'm not prepared to advise anyone not to pay their rent in anticipation for a grant of some type of sort of relief for small businesses. So That's the only thing I can share that I've experienced over the last day.
I'm getting a lot of the same kinds of questions. I'm telling businesses that I can't, I'm directing them to speak to their advisors. I know a lot of small businesses don't really have them. So I'm also on the side trying to compile some lists. There's a lot of community members here who have expertise in certain areas who are offering to work pro bono. Because honestly, like you're saying, some of that stuff, I can't be a financial advisor to small businesses and I can't be a lawyer or an insurance agent. So I do have a short list of community members here who have started to raise their hand to say they'd work with some small businesses. That might be something we can do as downtown managers that could be of use to our smallest business owners.
That's a great idea.
Developing a short list of pro bono advisors per community.
Yeah, if you can. We have a lot of very active online groups, to say the least, in our area. And there's a lot of helping hands type groups that have sprung up, and people are stepping up and putting their names out there. Again, I'm just trying to refer people and be careful to say I'm not recommending either a course of action or a particular person, but just give them the resources.
I think something that might also help, something that we're doing here locally, and it might be something that in any of your particular regions, that's something that you guys might do. But we're the economic development director here in Patterson, Michael Powell, has commissioned a sort of a small business task force. And it compiles of the Chamber of Commerce, myself. We have another special improvement district in the industrial park here in Patterson. The Passaic County, you guys know Deborah Hoffman. And then we have a Kate Muldoon, who represents William Patterson University Small Business Resource Center. So we started an email chain as of Monday, where we just are constantly updating each other on different things coming down the pipeline, similar to something that Downtown New Jersey would do specific. But it's something that we done locally where we're meeting. And then internally, the city of Patterson had a council meeting yesterday and discussed like options of maybe bonding some money to create a small business relief fund that small businesses can apply for. So it's just, you know, again, something that there's no blueprint to this. There's no model of example that we can reference to. So it's just something that we are, as days go by, as updates come in, just constantly staying. I think the key is communication throughout this entire process and just keeping everyone informed and educating small businesses and also their employees on what resources they have, you know, available to them. I get the federal government extending the filing for income taxes now to July, I believe it is.
Did they extend the filing or just the payment? Last I saw, it was just the payment.
This morning in the New York Times, I read that it was at the actual filing.
It was the filing. Yeah, they extended the deadline from April to July. You know, New Jersey suspending evictions. The court systems are down anyway, so anybody who even tried to file for an eviction won't get through. And that's another thing, you know, when all this comes back, you know, the backlog in the court systems and how that affects anybody that's, you know, going through certain tax appeal litigations. I spoke to a Passaic County freeholder who here in Patterson, the property owners just went through a reval, and the deadline to file a tax appeal was May 1st. So there hadn't been any conversation of that deadline being extended. But speaking to a Passaic County freeholder, he anticipates that deadline will probably also be pushed back. And I think that's essential for business owners, for property owners here in Patterson in particular.
So if I think that what I'm hearing, this is Liz Jeffrey, maybe it would be good to have, I just am trying to think if all the individual municipalities and downtown managers are trying to create their own task force, which the small business task force, which you know, of course, anyone's at liberty to do, but maybe there is a way, Courtney, that and Bob, that downtown New Jersey can make a small pro bono task force for small businesses and task out who's keeping track of what or whatever. You know, maybe that's something that would be helpful. Then we can all use that information rather than creating that in each individual place if we, you know, don't have the resources maybe to do that.
I think we could provide advice to the towns that don't have the resource. Maybe we can do this. I don't know for sure. To the towns that don't have the resources, although the only problem is the home rule thing that New Jersey is. So Patterson will want to do this and Cranford will want to do that. And so it's I think it's giving advice, but then they're going to have to decide. Maybe there's a menu of things they can do and they decide.
Yeah, maybe just the ad hoc team as a resource to answer questions that can be submitted by email, by any, you know, we have them or something, and people give their advice.
Yeah.
Also, as an aside, in Westfield, I know that, like Patterson, that some towns are exploring the ability to do some short-term help funding. So the Westfield Foundation is looking, you know, Westfield is looking with their foundation to see if they can create something for the small businesses. I'm sure that there'll be, you know, things rolling down on a town by town basis where they're trying to do something that I think people are concerned about the time it's going to take to put to go after, whether it's unemployment or funding from, you know, or, you know, I think for small businesses, interim emergency funding, I think that the processing of the paperwork with no people is concerning.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a, and again, this would have to be for towns, I think, using social fundraising to start these type of funds to support small businesses. What the heck do you call the
GoFundMe?
Brain is not working.
GoFundMe.
Yeah. Yeah, like GoFundMe or something. Hold on, I gotta yell at my daughter to turn off the TV.
Julie, didn't Sheena do something with GoFundMe in town, not for the businesses?
She did a senior thing.
There's
right?
two GoFundMes happening right now. One is for seniors, and we have an organization in the two towns, Maplewood and South Orange, that works with the senior population. So they partnered with a 501c3 and raised, I think it's $20,000 so far for food and supplies. And that organization knows that population well, so they know who's in need among that group and who's homebound and who has financial considerations. The second one is through a 501c3 associated with our school district, and they're raising food for all the Title I lunch program families. So there's been talk about, I've been on two calls in the last 24 hours about trying to create some kind of fund for small businesses as well. There's a lot of residents who want to do that. There's, you know, most of these calls have centered around how many issues there would be with doing something like that. I mean, yeah. The disbursement of that, how it's allocated is like, you know, loaded. I think that it's coming down to the conclusion that if certain groups of businesses want to band together or individual businesses and try on their own, not to sound too defeatist or negative, but also we're a smaller community. We're certainly plenty of people with money here, but people are losing their jobs or being furloughed or taking pay reductions right and left. And it's just like, how much money could we really raise that would actually have an impact by the time it was distributed? If we tried to do it across all, if we work together as the two towns, we're talking about 350 brick and mortar businesses, first floor businesses. I mean, how much can we raise that's actually going to have it? It's almost a gesture, and I think a meaningful gesture at this point, but I don't know that it would really have a financial impact on them. So it seems like this group that's talking on the side here about it is moving away from the idea of trying to do anything collectively and just seeing what certain businesses. I mean, couple that have already done it on their own. One restaurant here was able to raise $13,000 overnight, the Fox and Falcon. But you know, he's new, a newer business. So he's got about 30 days without reopening. Other after that, he'll just be shut down completely. He won't come back from it. So this money allows him to maybe make 60 days in hopes that all of this will have settled down by then, yeah. And we can get back to some kind of business as usual.
Julie, to your point, I know we're all planners, and we work so we get so into the weeds of working with our business community and specific business owners and property owners. Have any of you started having conversations with your board about the sustainability of your own programs? Because I know that our first quarter assessment is coming up, and we're not really sure how that's going to affect what we're trying to do. So, I know Orlando was saying, when this all comes back and the backlog of things that are happening, are your programs going to be around? Because I know that's a conversation that we're having.
We've had it. And I've had members of my board and property owners already reach out to me saying they think the assessment payments should be suspended. So those conversations are happening and probably coming, not much can say about that right now, except.
By the way, I'm having the same exact concern that if you don't exist, then I can't collect membership from you. We don't exist either.
Exactly.
I mean, I think everyone everywhere is probably having these conversations. It's just kind of mind-boggling. But yeah, you said it. I think it was you, Ryan, in the beginning. I think right now it's about communication. Getting information both out to the public about what our businesses are doing and allowed to be doing, and then to our business owners, property owners, and their employees about different programs and legislation that's being enacted to help them. And then and that's the most important thing, and I had a second thought. But DNJ, yesterday somebody sent an email saying that they felt their law firm could try to summarize the legislation.
That was Bob Goldsmith.
Yeah.
That would be.
Yeah, and that's already on the website on our.
Yeah, platform. I've already done it.
So it's there.
I only did the ones that were particularly relevant to downtowns.
Perfect.
And all the legislation is actually pretty short and straightforward anyway. So my summaries are very short. One of them, I didn't even do a summary because the title basically says it all. But it is all up there. And actually in the chat, if you have there's a way to open a chat box. I put a link to our policy watch. They're there. I think there's 5 or 6 bills that are particularly relevant to downtowns. The rest of it has to do with schools and, healthcare and things like that.
If I may interrupt because I have to jump off. Regarding small businesses, just to address what you were saying earlier on how to help them, it's great that there are different places doing GoFundMes. I think it's important for us to realize that these small businesses have already laid off employees. So it's the employees as well that, on the news they were saying how many people have filed for unemployment already. So there have been certain businesses where there's a group of the wait staff that have done GoFundMe going, we rely on our tips, So one of the things I've been encouraging and maybe something you want to address with your businesses and something I'm going to address we're having a 3:00 Newark Bids meeting, see if these businesses have Google pages, make sure they have a website, make sure if they have the option for people to purchase gift cards, those gift card amounts at least will go directly to the business, but then we have to think about the people working there. Newark is not a wealthy town. Jersey City's, has its pockets, but a lot of our service people, like barbershops, like our manicurists, they're all people that rely on the tip. So that's, something for us important to realize as we build our, try to maintain our and sustain our communities and downtowns. Last thing is if anyone is working with another bank or organization that's trying to develop a fund for small businesses. You know, maybe there's a way we can all go together, because I know I'm working on something that's dedicated just for Newark small businesses, but, you know, we have huge organizations, companies here in New Jersey. Where, you know, New Jersey is the home of big corporations, and granted, this is global. It's not just gonna, you know, we're saying it's affecting small businesses, but, you know, how's it gonna sustain our organizations, and how are big corporations gonna sustain themselves? You know, they're not making money. Some of them are not making the money as well. So this is a true pandemic.
I wonder if we, Bob, maybe you and I or Vanessa should talk to Fund for New Jersey. Yeah. They seem the most, you know, highest level, and see if they can facilitate some type of loan or grant fund.
I think that's a great idea.
Banks.
If you could reach out to them and try to set up a call for us, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Does anybody know, do you know anyone there?
Lucy, she changed her name. I don't know what it is today.
Lucy.
Yeah, I know Lucy. Okay.
Cool.
So.
Does anybody know of any relief or conversations had about undocumented workers or people? I mean, a lot of these waiters and waitresses that we're talking about maybe are undocumented. And even if the federal government, they can't get unemployment, if the federal government sends, you know, $1,000 checks to everyone, they probably won't get it. So I'm just curious in general, if anybody's heard anything of how anyone plans on helping undocumented individuals.
I've heard of certain diverse organizations helping. I mean, I saw it on the news over the weekend, how there was a kind of a Hispanic chamber that was helping with businesses in Staten Island, because they knew a lot of them are undocumented or don't have their green card, and their livelihood is their small business. So, you know, I think at this point, you know, let's definitely reach out to the state chamber, Hispanic chambers, see how any of these groups have already developed something for undocumented.
Vanessa, I wanted to add something that I read something, unfortunately, I don't know how true it is, about ICE raids. And so that's the only thing I've been keeping up with. But I do know that we do have a, in Newark at least, we have a municipal card program. And I don't know what other communities may have such, but that might be an opportunity to utilize that program, look at the people that are registered, and use some of that insight to at least reach out to some of these people to determine whether it be through survey or some kind of outreach method to contact folks. One of the things I know we did was that we were encouraging a lot of our undocumented neighbors to register with the municipal card program so they would have ID. So I was wondering, maybe we could leverage it in some kind of a way, but I do think we should speak within our community, would be like ICC or someone like that, Vanessa, that we could possibly work with to ensure that how we're dealing with, if they are having, God forbid, any kind of raids, they're taking this opportunity, that would be just ridiculous. But we're in a ridiculous time. So I'm just thinking maybe that's my only two things to add.
Okay.
So thanks, Vanessa. I'm also creating a list of kind of policy suggestions to the state. And so what I've got so far is maybe some type of gap funding for bid assessment payments from the state. So this would be talking to maybe Main Street or Jeff at MPP or something like that, that there's actually funding from this. So if you suspend bid assessments, how do you still exist? And there's a lot of money still in UEZ, no? Could we tap into that, maybe? And I'm going to write that tap into UEZ, maybe. The other one is, so the eviction freeze is for residential only. discuss maybe do extending that to businesses.
A commercial eviction freeze. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also just support for undocumented workers. I'm not quite sure where we go with that, but bring it up to, I think I'm going to start with EDA on these conversations. And then maybe talk to some legislators. It might be a few of us who have different legislators start talking to our senators and see where we can go. Were there other, kind of policy things? So there were the clarifying questions about what's essential and what's not, et cetera. And then there's actual policy stuff that we think needs to move forward. Any other ideas about policy stuff?
I know a number of our businesses have indicated on a sales tax holiday. And I believe there was a bill in the assembly that was going around. I'm not sure if the Senate took it up. But to have the sales tax, a sales tax holiday, and have it be retroactive to the governor's declaration of a state of emergency. So that's something we were looking at. And I know on your policy watch, Courtney, A3844, about the business interruption insurance, I spoke with one of my local legislators who said that that bill was kind of dead and that the Senate wasn't going to take it up.
I was confused about that one because it was actually listed as a resolution and not a bill. And I don't know how, this is where I fall down. I don't know
yeah.
the bill.
The feeling I got from him was that it wasn't really going anywhere.
Okay.
So just an FYI on that, if we feel it's important, I think we can maybe push it. But it seemed to me like that was, they were moving on to other things.
Okay.
I have a question in preparation for next week's meeting, which is next Friday. Is there something that we should be working toward, because I know that this meeting was more brainstorming, obviously, but the next meeting is supposed to be a lot more structured. Is there something?
Yeah, so the goal of next meeting is to have a state official, they're getting approval, so I can't say who it is, but a state official, I will give away from NJEDA, to go over the legislation has passed, the programs that are available, so it'll give a little more teeth and meat than us kind of conjecturing about what this legislation means. So that's the goal of next week. And I think to that person, we can also, if we think that, I'm going to hit them up on some of these policy things ahead of time, but if we have a group of people who can then say, we think it's important that the state pursue XYZ, I think that's a good idea. And I think in the meantime, I'm going to try to reach out see if we maybe can get some legislative aides also on the call so they can hear what the people who are managing and dealing with small businesses are dealing with.
My other question is, as we talk about our own sustainability, make to ensure that we include ourselves in the conversation next week when we have the conversation with the state legislator, whoever is going to be present. And that we somehow or another, we can possibly position ourselves, because if all of these kinds of new programs are any kinds of funds, options, bonding, relief funds, who would manage them? And I know one of the conversations I had early on was with our head of Invest North, Burnell Hall, was that trying to figure out the management of said fund.
Yeah.
We want a situation where you got millions of dollars donated and then now you're trying to determine how best to disseminate them and in which way to do that and who's gonna do that and who's in charge. So maybe we can position ourselves as trying to figure out how best to navigate the management of these funds in our own communities.
Yeah. I think that's where Julie was saying they didn't want to do it because the logistics and the management would be, you know, crazy. But I think for some of the bigger cities, they could handle it. Liz, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I just was going to add that, you know, as we said in the, right from the beginning, that communication is, you know, essential. So wherever we can tighten up the efficiency and of our communication, so if we have state people, you know, if they have a way of communicating the latest passings or the law, you know, if they have good communication, that's directly provided to us as things change, then we can more easily disseminate that information to our communities. Right now, everybody's plucking from everybody else's stuff a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Guilty.
Same.
Well.
And I honestly really feel like if the federal and state employees are not going to work, how is all of this processed?
Yes.
Well, I know that there have been, I mean, obviously this is a very unique situation. There may not be precedents, but there has been situations in the past where we've had to rise up for an emergency. We can use some kind of, I don't know, best practices of something in order to advise people on how best to manage whatever kind of fun or relief. It's not going to be as easy as them, like, oh, we're not going to do it because we don't know how to manage it. That's ridiculous. Like, it's giving me agita.
What I've been hearing is that they want to administer all of it through the SBA because they're already, the systems are already in place. And then last night's legislation, I think what was passed on the out of the U.S. Senate, a lot of the language was changed to grants versus low and no interest loans for small businesses. What that really means and translates to, I have no idea, but that's what I read this morning, which is good news. Yeah. And then the delivery of it, if it's still through the SBA, hopefully it, at least the system's in place for that, and it will speed it up a little bit. But I don't, you know, I don't know if, who knows.
The other thing for the New Jersey EDA programs is ensuring that they're not sticking labor harmony or labor harmony and union stuff to it, because that's what's been a problem with some of their programs, and people aren't taking them up because they're requiring labor contracts. So just another thing to keep in mind.
Hopefully they'd be throwing less roadblocks.
Hopefully.
And not more.
I think that we'll be seeing a lot more of issues on how to help people recover after all this passes. I think once the recovery process begins, we'll start having more questions that need to be answered and maybe more adjustments to certain programs that might exist already. I'll just throw one out there that a lot of people don't think about all the time, but the entertainment industry. I used to manage an entertainment company in Fairfield, New Jersey. There's a multi-million dollar entertainment company that provided, you know, bouncy houses and DJs and photo booths. Their calendar is completely wiped right now, at least for the next 3 months. And even then, after all this is said and done, people won't have the extra money to throw parties, to have a wedding, you know, to have a bar, a bat mitzvah, or even a birthday party in their house. So I think there's going to be a lot more long-term ramifications to those type of service industries. And I think things will need to be adjusted as we go along.
Yeah, there's a lot of businesses that we don't even know how they're going to come through. I mean, any of the performing arts, any of the things related to entertainment. I mean, you know, at this point, I think we have to look at, you know, I guess our individual circumstances, and the main thing is how to keep people being able to eat and pay their rent if possible, and getting relief for people's obligations. There's a lot of industries that I think, you know, who knows where we're going economically in general, but I think there's a lot of industries, particularly the entertainment and performing arts, et cetera, that are, some of them are not going to come back from this.
On that depressing note.
Sorry, I know that's depressing, but it's
reality.
No,
it's a reality. Yeah, it's a reality that we're living.
It's reality.
Listen, we didn't close down. We didn't close down foot traffic in Fanwood yet, and there's a line to get in the bridal store, the bridal wear. There's a lot. It goes like she's known from in the region, and you know, like the brides are freaking that they might not have their dress because if things get closed down. So they've been like managing that, and I do think that we have to worry about the service providers, whether it's our funeral parlors or, you know, those kinds of things, and medical institutions that we have to help that are essential. I think we have to do both things. We have to pay attention to those that are essential and will remain open, and also pay attention to, you know, the ones that are struggling and closing and having to pay or feed or carry health insurance or whatever.
Hey, Liz, can you talk to us just for a minute or two about, I know Westfield mayor decided to shut down downtown Westfield as a, you know, for foot traffic. What the implications of that are?
It's
what that really empty. Means?
It's empty and Cranford was right behind. I think some of the cities, it seems to me as an observer that the larger cities, places with the larger mass or closer to the epicenter are doing more severe restrictions like Patterson or Hoboken. And then towns like Westfield and Cranford that were significant deaths. Can you hear me? Because somebody's calling in on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So towns that were sort of destination towns where you have a good amount of foot traffic, like I think those mayors or those leaders were put in a position because they drove down on the Friday night and the thing is packed. So people are walking all over the place and they're not doing the 6 feet. So I think they were maybe prompted to do things earlier. And I also think that they're able to do it in a SID as opposed to just declaring a state of emergency. Because there's a SID, maybe you can lay down regulations like that without, you know, and prior to doing a state, I don't think there's a lot of tools. If you have a SID, there seems to be the ability to do things more, as opposed to if you don't have a SID, you have, you know, the tool is your state of emergency, basically.
Hmm. Does that make sense? Obviously, the restaurants are still doing their takeout and delivery, right, within the footprint of the no.
Yeah, I mean, we have been massively pushing. Everybody's been pushing all over our community pages to buy something downtown from the food providers, do a curbside pickup, buy a gift certificate at the time, tip heavily. Right. Whatever businesses can sustain themselves and remain open for whatever period of time. So for the most part, that's been our major campaign. I mean, our other businesses were in a quandary of should I stay open, shouldn't I? Do my employees want to come or don't they? You know, I think it's been a really fuzzy area, like with the child care. And so in those cases, there were so many people in the towns that the mayors just decided to end that conversation and do only essential, which and now is rolling out in states.
Liz.
So it's, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. You can finish.
No, it's okay. So I think the major thing that we've been trying to do is help the businesses, give the resources and communication out there to the businesses that have closed. And we create as much positivity in the community through social media where they're feeling the care and concern of their community. And then we've also been really pushing to have our community get their food picked up or delivery.
And I agree, Liz, with you with that. I mean, it's challenging as a SID director when your job is to solely advocate for these small businesses, promote business to them, to now have to turn around and kind of and we're not in a position to enforce, only to educate and inform these businesses, but it puts us in a very tough position to have to go to them and say, hey, you have to shut down, you know, per this executive order. You know, and you have, and then you got to go back to these people and they know that you're there to advocate for them and to promote their business and to encourage the foot traffic. But now we're in a position that I don't think any, you know, SID or BID person has ever been in where we're telling people that you have to shut down.
Well, I have to say that it's, I mean, as much as I hate, you know, I feel like we've been validated. because every time that we put something down that's a little more restrictive, it's followed suit either by a state or by a city or by another town. So I think that those more restrictive situations are coming. And so we did it first in Westfield, and then pretty soon it was followed. Now it's, you know, so, you know, I think that's the way it's going to roll out, is that they're really going to be closing everything except for truly, truly essential life-saving. I mean, in Pennsylvania, they said life-saving services.
Let's deem the gun shops essential in case we get into a zombie apocalypse.
I say let's really support our mental health organizations right now and be spreading like a mental message every day to everyone.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I don't know. I mean, Fanwood is small. I can call people and reach out to people. And I think that there were people in the gray area, and sometimes they really just want direction. And also I can say this about, for instance, childcare. In childcare, from the very beginning, not to prolong, you know, these in particular issues, but it's a quandary. If the regulations say that you can shut down and therefore your insurance kicks in, it was a better situation for them. But the only way that they could shut down was if it was by the Board of Health, and they had to have a case in order to shut down, and there's no testing. So, you know, that's what we went through with our larger, you know, some of our people, because they could get insurance or be covered better financially and weather the storm better, but they have no ability to prove a case either. So just throwing that little monkey wrench in there.
Yeah.
So I think that many of the businesses are closing because they can't sustain themselves operationally with the minimal amount. And those that aren't, in many cases, they're probably going to be closing non-essentials.
Mm-hmm. So Courtney, you have your action items.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have both clarification questions, policy things we'd like to see put forward. You and I are gonna reach out to Fund for New Jersey and see if there's interest in starting a dialogue.
Great.
About a small business fund, and hopefully they're already having that conversation and we can just add to it. Then I'm going to work on getting even, you know, not just somebody from NJADA, but hopefully somebody from the legislature on our call for next or video or Zoom for next week, so we can one, get clarification on what exists, and then two, continue to bang home some of these policy suggestions that we have. So that's next steps. And I'm gonna post this chat online so people can kind of get a sense that they're not alone and everybody's having these conversations. And I'll try to formulate some type of little summary of what we discussed too. And that's where I'm going.
Can I add that I had in here the UBZ money and speak with Jeff at Main Street, New Jersey. Is someone going to do that, or is there a way that any of us can help with any of this stuff and extend the eviction freeze to commercial business?
Yes. So my policy, what I have is policy or gap funding for assessment payments, and maybe there's some way to tap into UBZ for that. Freeze evictions for commercial. There's talk about sales tax holiday. I'm not sure where we officially stand on that. And I don't recall seeing draft legislation on that, Ryan, but I'll look through it again. Support for undocumented workers, and then find out where the interruption insurance resolution stands. Because again, I don't understand the difference between an emergency resolution and a legislation, and who, I don't know all that. So I'll find out what's going on with that. And I think that's a great one to push forward from a small business perspective. So if it's not going anywhere, I think we should kind of advocate that it does. And those are the policy ones I had. Was there anything else that I missed?
No. I want to throw in one thing before we hang up, just to throw it out there. I've been having several conversations. I'm a part of a large cohort of organizations that do this work across the nation, local first groups. And one of my colleagues in Detroit runs an org called the Food Lab, and she specifically serves food businesses. And one of the things they're doing, and they've been talking about this for forever, is, you know, the discriminatory practices that are
you know, that are the food business, like, you know, tipping and how ancient that is and how that should just definitely be addressed and eliminated, and people should be paid a living wage and not have to just rely on tips, blah, blah. So one of the things that I've been following them very closely, and she's doing this work around the nation now as well, is that they're trying to message this and use this opportunity to say, you see, we've been trying to tell you this for the last forever. Now we have businesses in our downtown communities, restaurants that are all going to probably, well, according to them, many of which will have to close. And now you're going to have desolate downtowns. Now is the time to have these conversations around policy for the restaurant industry. So I know they're working very hard in different downtowns to try to piggyback, you know, trying to use this as an opportunity to push forth that policy conversation. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay. Agreed. All right. I have my marching orders.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you so much. This was so important and appreciated.
And thank you all for participating.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much. Okay. And one thing I've learned is, with these Zoom conference calls, how much I touch my face, and it's really
bothering.
Yeah, I know.
Really
no.
All right,
but
have
thanks,
a nice weekend.
All right, everyone, stay safe.
Bye, everybody. Stay safe.